Hey. Hello, creepers. Welcome back to Creepy Shit. Okay, so today's episode, I need to talk with you for a second before I bring my guest in, because this one genuinely caught me off guard in like the very bestest of ways. She actually reached out to me, which, first of all, I love that energy. It is so great. Very on brand for someone who works with forces that most of us can't see. So I definitely kind of gently stalked her and like sought her out and checked out some things. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, she's real. Like, for real, very real, and I love it. So her name is Ashley Ryan, and you might know her online as the Pythian Priestess. And look, I did my homework before this episode, and I kept having this moment over and over where I'd learn something new about her and just go, okay, she's the real deal. And here's what I mean. Okay, Ashley is... she is initiated hermetic priestess. She has a bachelor's in philosophy and theology. She has a master's in writing and producing for television from Loyola Marymount University. She runs her own mystery school with over 1,000 students. She's been a series regular and spiritual advisor on Sam and Colby's investigation series. And she is developing her own independent paranormal investigations show called Exploring Haunted America. She is genuinely not playing, my fellow creepers. And what I love about her, and what I think you guys are going to love, is that she isn't someone who just shows up to like a haunted location to, you know, just get the content. She comes in with an actual ritual practice, an actual spiritual framework, and years of serious study underneath it. Like, this woman inspires me. I'm inspired, like, for real. And she brings something completely different to these spaces. And today, she's pulling back the curtain on what that actually looks like from the inside. We are going to be getting into like some Catholic upbringing, aka I am a recovering Catholic, and how she ended up here and what hermetism actually is, because that was something that I did not know about and I learned something. So what really happens in these investigations that doesn't make the final cut, and what she means when she says darkness isn't inherently evil. So, all right, you guys, let's do this. Ashley, welcome to Creepy Shit.
Hi, Star. I'm so excited to be here. I love Creepy Shit.
Yay! Right? I know. I do too. I really do. So when I read it all like back to back, and even when I was like, there is a lot of like amazing person in everything that you do. First things first, that I just want to address that I love is that you initially reached out to me, and I'm just wondering, like, how did you initially hear about Creepy Shit? How did this like kind of come to fruition for you to find me?
Yes. So back in September of 2025, I was filming with Sam and Colby, and we collaborated with the Morbid podcast. And when that podcast aired, between Sam and Colby and the Morbid Girls, they talked about me a lot. And I got a flood of customers and curious seekers. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, it's so nice to see like female-oriented people in the paranormal space. And I was like, well, there's got to be more people like this, right? So I did my research, and so I asked Google. I was like, what are podcasts that are similar to Morbid? And yours came up. And so I went back and I listened to one of your episodes. It was about like the bleeding statues, which I've encountered before. And I was like, very curious. And I loved your style. And I was like, well, I'll reach out to her. And oh, I'm so glad I did.
Me too. And oh my gosh, I am like so honored that I was compared to Morbid. Like, that is so flattering. I had no idea. Like, seriously, I had no idea that that was even the case. And what's so great is like, Morbid is like one of the reasons why I even started the podcast. So like they have ultimately inspired me and just like somehow made it okay to enjoy the weird and be okay with the weird and talk about the weird. And I just always felt like I was so closeted for so long with that. And so that is just really great to hear. It really truly means a lot. So, okay. I have to start with the most important question before we go anywhere serious, because when people find out what you do for a living, I am really curious, like, what is probably like the most, maybe not necessarily annoying, but the thing that is most immediately said. You know what I mean? Because I feel like you must, you've probably got to have like a top five at this point.
Oh, of course. Yeah. The first one people always ask is like, do I talk to demons? I have, it's not a part of my regular practice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Can I ask too, like when you have spoken and you have encountered anything that is demonic, my very first question is always in those situations is how do you protect yourself? Because when I've gone and I've done something, I'm one of those people where I'm like, okay, bring some salt, bring some black obsidian, have some really positive intentions before going in. And do you have anything to counter with that or anything additional that you would say is better or anything like that?
So those are great tools. The most important thing that I've encountered for protection when encountering demonic entities is you have to carry the light within yourself. And what that means is like your belief, your inner protection, like whoever your guardians are, your guides, your goddesses, God, like knowing that they're standing behind you and they're not going to let anything happen to you. Because as soon as that light goes out inside of you, you're toast. You're done.
Right on. Yeah, I can totally see that. And I think sometimes too, I really wonder, there was a case that I had heard about with Preston Castle, where they were doing a filming thing and they like subjected them. They were almost like too open and not knowing because they didn't necessarily believe in it. And I guess my thought has always been just because you don't believe in it doesn't mean that it's not real. You know what I'm saying?
That's definitely not the case.
So, okay. Oh my goodness. Okay. So I totally dig that. And which is kind of exactly what I want to like kind of go into. And I'm going to kind of go into a few other things here. So let's just kind of talk about like the strict Catholic upbringing, because if there is one thing I can relate to, it's definitely that. I was in a Catholic school growing up, had to wear the uniform the whole nine yards. If we did anything wrong in school, we had to kneel and not like sit on our butt, you know, like lean back. You know how you can put your heels to your butt and you can like sit? Yeah, you weren't allowed to do that. It was like straight up kneeling. And I remember my fifth grade teacher. Oh my gosh. She was a nun. And I mean, big shocker. I always got disrupted for talking. And she would always throw chalk at me. Oh. Like, yeah. She'd be like, stop it. You need to be quiet. So, which honestly just feels like such a reoccurring origin for a lot of people out there too, who have gone through Catholicism, maybe aren't practicing anymore. Or, and I think about why that is too. It's like you were already told the supernatural is real. You were already living inside a worldview where miracles happen and spirits exist, and then the rules just didn't fit. Is that the case to what happened for you? Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So my origin story is similar. It's adjacent to yours, except it didn't stop at school. My babysitters when I was a child were Benedictine nuns. They were my great aunts.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I lived it 24/7. So not only did I go to Catholic school, I went to mass once a week at school. And then I had Sunday school on Sunday. And it was just my entire life was surrounded by it. Mm-hmm. the pinpoint of the origin story was when I was four. I was quite young. And my cousins and I were running through the formal dining room in my grandparents' house. And the nuns stopped in front of the door where we were running, going to run through. And I was like, oh no, I'm in trouble. I'm going to get yelled at. Like, this is not good. And instead, the conversation turned to, would you like to become a nun? Do you want to get married to Jesus? Yeah, to a four-year-old.
Mm-hmm. So wow, that's intense. That's intense. Yeah.
And so my little four-year-old brain, like I went through it. I was like, wow, like a nun, I knew the nun didn't have the same kind of power as a priest did. Like the priest got to run the mass. He got to touch the wafer thing, right? And I was like, wow, you know, if I'm going to give up, and this is not the word I used as a child, but if I'm going to give up all earthly pleasures, I want to be able to touch God. That was like my thing. I want to touch God.
Okay.
So I told them, because there's two of them, I said, you know, I would rather be a priest. And they said, oh, you can't do that because you're a girl. And I was like,
red flag.
I was like, well, I don't care about this anymore. And so I started, that was the very beginning of my journey. And then it continued. There were like major turning points in my life. When I was in seventh grade, I was being horrendously bullied. I've always been bullied. I'm a weirdo. And
girl, I feel you. We weirdos unite. I'm with you.
Yeah, weirdos. I love being a weirdo now, but as a child, it was very difficult. So I was told by like my grandma and these nuns that like, if you pray the rosary every week, they'll take away your suffering. And I was like, bet, let's do it. Nothing happened.
Oh.
Nothing changed. And I was like, well, I became an atheist temporarily. I was like, I'm over this. Like, clearly this doesn't work or there's something wrong with me. And then when I was 14, which is not very, a couple of years later, not very long, I went to a Renaissance fair for the first time. And I was like determined to get my palm read because that's the only thing that I knew about in the occult world at the time.
Sure.
Yeah. And so I found an older woman and she said, well, for the questions that you have, I think you would be better off getting your tarot read. And I was like, what's tarot? Whatever, fine. And as soon as she pulled over the cards, I got hit with light. It was the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. And I was like, wow, this is the most sacred, most beautiful, most important thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And that's when I started reading almost 19 years ago, 20 years ago now, because I'm 30.
Wow. I want to have a reading with you.
Okay.
Really?
You can do a short one? Yeah, sure. What do you want to know?
Oh my gosh, I love it. Yeah. Oh, now I don't know because now I'm on the spot.
Okay. I usually go by like categories. So we have your familial life, your finances, your romantic life. Are any of those something you want to know about?
I guess more along the lines of like my direction, I guess you could say.
And what part of your life?
Yeah, because like I know what I'm seeking and what I'm after.
Okay.
And I guess I'm having a hard time. And this is just very vulnerable, everybody. FYI, I guess this is just very much a, like, I really wonder sometimes if, like, I'm wasting my time or if it's really a matter of, like, no, you're doing all the right things. It just takes time.
And finances, work, what are we talking about?
I would say work.
Okay, cool. All right, let's take a look. What's your zodiac sign?
I'm Sagittarius.
Well, Sag. Amazing. All right.
I am totally a Sag, too. Like, I fit the bill 100%.
Okay, so you had one pauper card, which was the Queen of Swords. Okay, so you are on the right path. There's a couple of little snags that you want to work out.
Okay.
The good news is, so the Queen of Swords, she has the sword of judgment, the sword of discernment, the ability for you to cut through bullshit, and see things as they are. The problem we have with her, though, is see how all these clouds are pushed underneath her?
Yeah.
This is the emotional stuff. This is all the emotions that are coming along with it. And also shows me maybe stuff from the past that hasn't been cleared out yet. So that's where your high priestess is reversed. This is not necessarily like a doom. This is a, you're out of balance. So just like we see her here, you're up here in your head all the time and your poor heart doesn't get to have a say.
Yep. That sounds very accurate. I do. I spend a lot of time in my head. A lot of time. So, yeah. Wow. That is just, thank you for that.
You're welcome. Oh, we got more. No, we got
okay,
more.
Okay, cool. Yay.
Yeah, you have about 10 more cards. So I'll go through this moderately fast. This is the observation. You are being asked right now to observe where you're making choices from. So in this picture, the Seven of Pentacles, the man is looking over his harvest. Are the pentacles ready to pick? You're saying, I don't think so. I think there's something more that I want here.
Uh-huh.
This is in your future, which is the Ace of Wands. This is your fire energy, passion, willpower, desire, direction. The thing is, it's in the sky. You're not on Earth yet. So the thing that you are currently working on or you're thinking about, you do want to continue with it. In the long run, it will make you money and financially stable. The reason we say long run is because at the bottom of the Nine of Pentacles, you got a tiny little snail.
Okay.
In the short term, you are either going to need investors or grants to help you with this project. Because it's going to take it a little bit of time to be profitable.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. For whatever reason, spirit is mysterious. You need to have the combination of the heart and the swords.
Okay.
So here's a secret for you. There are two tarot cards in the deck that are more positive when they're reversed. This is one of them.
Oh, hey. Okay. Cool.
So here, when it's the Three of Swords is in its normal position. It's cloudy, it's gloomy, it's sad. And your swords are facing down. You don't want that.
Uh-huh.
Because it's upright, it shows clarity of mind. And we are connecting to that heart space.
Right on.
We do see financial success and wealth being passed through generations. But there's a, here's your, here it is. The Devil card.
Dun, dun, dun.
And so this is all about your patterns in what? Your mindset. So we have swords again. This is mental.
Uh-huh.
And the Seven of Swords. Oh my gosh, Star. You're carrying these swords by the blade. What's going to happen to your hands?
Oh yeah, cut to shit.
Cut to shit. So what the goddess is saying here is that these are old, outdated ways of believing, thinking, and being. And when you look at the Devil card, uh-huh. Yes, the scary devil, of course, but the people representing you are in chains, but those chains are not very tight. In fact, you could take those off if you wanted at any point.
Uh-huh.
But you're afraid to because you've used these old ideas and patterns to create identity. So you have to shed that identity in order to embrace the heart and mindset combination and the belief in yourself that you can build this wealth.
That is like, yes, and I do. I totally like, I doubt myself a lot. So that is, wow. Thank you for that. That is so insightful. And I am going to be sitting with that. And I might even be journaling about some of that later. So thank you so much on that. So, okay. So you, as you kind of went toward the occult, which I love that so much because most people who like leave religion tend to go like fully like secular, if that makes sense. Like they're done with the whole category, but you went deeper into the mystical. What pulled you toward hermetism, like more specifically?
A girl.
I love it. Yay. Yay, female power. I love it.
Yeah. I had a crush on a girl in high school. Her name was Diana. And she gave me The Republic by Plato. And I understood none of it. And I was
Okay.
really pissed that I didn't understand it. And I was like, okay. So I read the Spark Notes version and I learned about philosophy. And I was like, okay. So philosophy is the love of wisdom. I've got the book smarts. I'm in all these AP classes. Great. But clearly there's something greater that I'm missing that religion can't teach me. But I think this thing called philosophy can. No, we never dated. She dated another girl. Very sad.
Womp,
But you
womp.
know, womp womp. So, you know, I'm bi. I dated guys. That was a waste of my time, but whatever. So when I got to college, I decided I was going to become a philosophy major. But in my undergrad, you had to be a dual philosophy and theology major. And I was not super stoked about that. I was kind of angry about that. But
I can understand that. Yeah.
in hindsight, though, it gave me a lot of understanding about how the Catholic Church was built. And so I understood more. And it took me many, many years to be able to separate the teachings of the Catholic Church, which are actually very esoteric, and the dogma and the humanness of the Catholic Church. So, you know, people on YouTube and TikTok are all weird. They're all like, wow, Jesus loves you. I'm like, yeah, I love Jesus too. Mad chill. Love that guy. And they're like, what? Like, Jesus was a brown socialist Jew.
Yes, and he was a human being because there's often the thing that I always come across is that somehow Jesus was this like magical being, and it's like, no, actually, he was really a preacher and he talked and he gave public talks, and it wasn't really a matter of any sort of magic per se. And that always has baffled me. Like, I don't know. Religion, like, even though I'm really not a religious person per se, but I'm always fascinated by religion and its orthos and that kind of thing. It's very interesting to me how it comes together. And in a lot of ways, when you do cross balance, it's like, well, it's kind of all the same thing, just saying it a little bit differently. Like in some ways, you know, depending on the religion. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. So Hermeticism. So Hermes, yes. So Hermes is the beginning of that word. Hermes, obviously the Greek god, the messenger god. But actually, this is referring to a different Hermes named Hermes Trismegistus, or Hermes Thrice the Great. And this character, this legend, came out of the Neoplatonist era in ancient Egypt. So Egypt had a very long reign, and while, yes, my goddess is of Egyptian mythology and origin, a lot of what I practice is a combination of ancient Greek and ancient Egyptian. Because I want to be real with all of you, if someone tells you they practice ancient Egyptian magic, they're full of shit. We don't know. We
Got
just
it.
don't. So while we have some information, we don't have a lot of it because of the Christians and whatever. So,
Yes, all of, yep, politics.
politics. So this emergence of Egyptian mythology and Greek mythology gave birth to Hermeticism, which is Hermes Semitism, meaning the study of Hermes or the study of communication, arts, mathematics, and did I say art already? Arts included in there. So you'll see this through different in the ancient world, the mystery schools actually were in communication with each other. So you can trace back some of the stuff that I do all the way to Pythagoras. Like it goes way, way back. And of course, we only have little pieces and nuggets while amazing occultists like Cornelius Agrippa took that information and combined it into an actual system that can be of use. So I'm just going to go on like a tiny little rant here.
No, absolutely. Let it rip.
I get all these comments being like, you use like Latin and then you use ancient Egyptian and then you use ancient Greek and Hebrew. Why don't you just pick one? Because there's not just one. This is
there's so many times where it's like, it's not either or. Sometimes it's both. Sometimes it's all.
Yeah. And it's like, I am living like in the timeline of human history where we exist right now. I am so blessed to have all of this information and I can combine it. And I'm not the one who did that. Other occultists did that like 500-600 years ago. Mm-hmm. So Hermeticism is this big mixture. But the point is that it's a system that works. So in occultism, we call this current. It's a current of energy, just like Hinduism is a current of energy. Buddhism is a current of energy. Catholicism is a current. So is Hermeticism.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. That is, oh, mwah, chef's kiss on that. I love it. Okay. So I've got to ask about, let's see, hang on one second. I think, Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I had to check my notes here. about the name that you have online, because I did a deep dive on this, and if I'm saying it right and I mispronounce everything, I try really hard not to, but am I saying it Pythia? Am I saying that right? Where the actual oracles of ancient Delphi, real women consulted by kings and generals for centuries, documented history, not mythology. And so like, what drew you to that specific lineage? And oh my God, I love that.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
So the Greek way to pronounce it is Pythia, but it does sound like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and when I was in my world religion class, and then, so it was like part two of world religions, which is the philosophy of religion.
Okay.
I was reading ahead and I saw a picture of her on her tripod. And I was like, who is this amazing woman? Like, she's incredible. So I learned that she was the oracle at Delphi. She was the most respected priestess of the ancient world. She was the most accurate oracle as well. And because when I was four, I was told there was no such thing as female priests, she was the first time I ever encountered one. And so in true millennial fashion, I went online, I hoarded the username as much as I could. I got the email address. But I wasn't really open about like practice. Like some people knew I did tarot and stuff like that, but not like, because it's Florida, right? People get weird.
Yeah.
And so she was my inspiration. So when I joined TikTok and I was like, you know what? It's time to use this username that I've been hoarding for like the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. You know what's so cool about her? A lot of people, for a while, she was a young girl. She was, you know, a virgin. But actually in the later years, it was actually a woman over 50, someone who was in menopause.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Yep. And so like that just shows like the wisdom of women doesn't die.
Well, and one thing is for sure, I don't know if it was my upbringing. I don't know exactly where in my lifeline I became so confident in the fact, but I do think it's fact and I do think it's very real that we are the stronger sex, 100%. And I also think we are a lot smarter in a lot of ways too, because one thing's for sure, hell hath no fury than a woman who needs to like solve something and uncover something and like go undercover. We do it way better. I'm sorry. Oh, we just do.
I believe that the police force and detectives should be white women because we're all obsessed with true crime and we will figure it out.
We will figure it out. Yes. I so agree with that. 100%. Absolutely.
Other women can join through. We can have women.
I'm telling you, men lie too much. And no offense to my men listeners, because I know there's some good ones out there. Please don't take offense to that. But a lot of men out there do tend to be liars and get themselves caught. Like, they don't know how to properly lie. And I'm not saying lying is a good thing, by the way, that's not what we're going into. But I'm just saying they tend to get caught a lot more than females do, in my opinion.
The temptation is greater for whatever reason.
Yes. So, okay, do you think coming in through like philosophy and theology first, like before you ever walked into a haunted building with like a camera, like somehow changes how you perceive what's actually happening in these spaces? Can you talk about that?
Of course. So when I was in college, the same time I was receiving my philosophy and theology degree, I was a ghost tour guide in St. Augustine, Florida. And so I had direct interaction 5 days a week with this stuff. And there's a lot that I understood about energy. I didn't have the language to describe it at the time, because when you're in the academic side of philosophy, it's very different. The esoteric aspects get clouded or muddied.
Okay.
One of the clearest understood, the first thing I ever explained, when I, a portal, I understood what a portal was. So when I worked at the old jail, first of all, I was blonde and about 120 pounds. So I was very small, and I was very like, you're going into a place with ghosts of like rapists and murderers and people who did not great things in life.
Mm-hmm.
And when that amount of energy is coming together, it actually, for whatever reason, opens up a portal or a doorway to other dimensions for other things to come through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first time experiencing that, was realizing that the ghosts, there were the staples. There were the staple mm-hmm. ghosts. But then sometimes there's stuff that comes through that, first of all, wasn't human. I wouldn't say it was demonic, but it wasn't human.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, where is this coming from? Why is this happening? And it's because we're creating negative poles. There are also positive poles where we have miracles. A great example would be the Lady of Fatima, where Bernadette like ate from the earth, the roots, and a spring came up and it grew larger and larger. People go into the water and they're miraculously healed. So that was the first time I really understood. I'm like, okay, so polarity is important.
Mm-hmm.
I would then later learn when I moved to Los Angeles about like the hermetic principles and polarity being one of them. And so that was like a firsthand experience. I also had to get really good at protection. And mm-hmm. because, you know, being initiated gives you a certain kind of spiritual authority that you don't go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt, but can you talk a little bit about what that initiation like actually means? Oh, no. Did I lose you? Hang on. Hold. Please hold. Are you there?
I'm here. The spirits were like, don't talk about this too much.
Right? Yes. Okay, so... can you talk about what that initiation actually means? Because I think sometimes that word might get thrown around, and I don't think most people know what it actually requires.
No, they don't. Okay, so initiation, you can look at several different magical currents. So Santeria, Lukimi, you have to go, even like Wicca. You have your year and a day, which you are basically under scrutiny of spirit and the elders assessing you. Are you worth it? Are you worth the effort that takes to bring you into this current? And will you serve us well? So for me, I had to go through three rounds of interviews. I had to go through a background check. You know, they have to make sure that I am a good person to do because it does take, it varies on the system, somewhere between 2 and 24 hours.
Wow.
It's a lot.
Wow. I had no idea it was that kind of process. It's a very long. Wow. Okay.
So you go through that, you're put into a trance, And then you go through a series of trials, essentially. And if you don't do well in the trials, too bad, so sad.
It is like totally giving me American Horror Story, like Seven Wonders vibes. Like maybe not to that extent, obviously, because that's very dramatized, but like it kind of gives me like that kind of vibe almost.
You're close, but we're not that intense, at least not in my tradition.
Okay.
I can share an example from Plato. The Eleusinian mysteries that Plato was initiated into, they had to go through trials. So one, for example, was he had to swim across a raging river. Strength.
Okay.
Another one was he had to walk through a room of naked women and do nothing.
Wow.
Can you contain your lust? Can you rise? Because the idea of initiation is you are rising above the lower animal nature of your soul and ascending into higher consciousness.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. I love that. And I am very much, I do a lot of stuff with like trying to understand like manifestation and all of that kind of stuff. And a lot of the things that are brought up in there is about elevating and getting to a higher level of consciousness, which I'm always fascinated by because I'm like, okay, but then now, like, how do I do that? Like, okay, I understand that I need to do that, but how do I actually do that? And so I'm curious too, after like this whole initiation process for you, did something like then really shift for you? Like, was there a before and after that you could like feel?
Yes. So I will say that the person that I was in 2020 when I was initiated, I don't know her anymore.
Oh, that's so fascinating.
I don't know who she is. I would say that the first thing that I gained was confidence. And that confidence comes from self-worth. Mm-hmm. Knowing that not just the fact that I was chosen, but the fact that I carry this energy now. Like there's so many things that happen in initiation. You're given a name, you're given a title, and that's where I got the title priestess. I am a real priestess. Like, of course, I give honor to Pythia, but mm-hmm. I am priestess of blank and blank. So like that, for me, was like, wow, like I knew this since I was a child. And now here I am at 28, where it's like solidified and it is a part of who I am. So as you progress through the system, whatever system it is, you will have to refine your animal nature. And so this is reactivity, for example, like how reactive am I to things? Can I hold space? And this is also energetic. When people are yelling at you or they're like, you know, rah, 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 mm-hmm. can I shield myself and say, this is not mine to carry? And I reflect it back to you. That was something it took me a long time to learn.
Oh, that's incredible, though. And what an amazing journey to be on. Like, seriously, that is incredible. Now, you've said, too, that darkness isn't inherently evil. And I want you to make that case for the audience, because I think there's a vision of that state version of that statement that's profound and a version that could be possibly misunderstood. So what do you actually mean when you say that?
Mm-hmm. So let's start with the structure of the universe. So mm-hmm. if we're going to talk in energy terms, energy becomes more subtle the higher you go up into the Empyrean or celestial angel realms. Uh-huh. And then you come down, down, down to earth where uh-huh. things become more dense. That's how we get bottles. That's how we get bodies. You need denser, darker energy. The further you go down, the denser and heavier the energy becomes. It's all about polarity. One cannot exist without the other.
Right.
So my example for this is the yin and the yang. You have to have the white with the black and the black with the white, and they spin forever. Some modern people say they're fighting with each other. The ancient Taoists would tell you, no, they're not. They're actually in a dance of harmony.
Uh-huh.
So darkness is necessary. It is a requirement for this to exist. If we did not have denser, heavier energies, it wouldn't happen. Part two, those lovely trees that we love, the grass, the sky, demons create those, not angels.
Oh, that's interesting. Very interesting.
They uphold the physical universe. It is absolutely a creation of God or source or whatever, but who created the demons? The higher being, to uphold the dense energy. Angels don't do that.
Wow, that's fascinating. I never saw it that way. And that's actually a way more useful framework than inherently saying that like all dark things are evil. You know what I mean? Because like, I don't feel like that's what you're initially saying here. Am I right in that?
No, I'm not. Now, this we're going to dive deeper. So this is like outside of humans, right? We are just focused on the nature of the universe. Demons have a role. Now we'll dive into when humans come in contact. Humans are a very unique animal. Yes, we are animals, just in case you guys forgot. We have three natures or threefold souls. You have the animal soul, which is eat, reproduce, enjoy pleasure. Then you have the rational thinking mind, which is where we have mathematics, art, architecture, all that beautiful stuff. And then you have your higher mind, which is what the ancient Greeks would call nous, which is your rational thinking soul that wants to go up, up, up. So I had a demon tell me this once. I've had demons tell me many things, but this one was the most important. We can only reveal what's already there. If your soul is corrupt, if you have greed, if you have lust, the influence of that energy is going to influence you to do negative things because they are not evil in themselves. They are just part of the universe. They're doing what they're supposed to do. You, the human being, creates evil. We do not call hurricanes evil. We do not call tornadoes evil. But what is evil is murder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100% yes. Yes. For sure. Wow. I love that. Like so much. Like seriously. Okay. Like just new levels and ways of thinking and trying to like understand. And again, going back to the whole like expanding my own consciousness. And like, this is just really incredible and fascinating. I'm loving the perspectives and the knowledge that you have. Like, this is just great. So let's talk about the actual work. You're a series regular and spiritual advisor on Sam and Colby's investigation series. And for people who don't know them, which like, I really don't know how anyone could not know them at this point, but tens of millions of subscribers, known for going to genuinely intense locations. Like, what does the role of spiritual advisor actually mean on set, and what are you doing that, you know, most likely a regular investigator isn't? Can you go into that?
Yes. So I advise Sam and Colby on and off camera. They've talked about it on the Morbid. Yeah. They've talked about it on the Morbid podcast, so I can share it a little bit now.
Okay.
So off camera is where I think they're scared of tarot now. I've predicted like legal issues they would have. And I would tell them like, you're going to have this legal issue that comes up. It does. I predicted Colby's illness, his cancer, which came true.
Really? Wow.
And it's, So they're kind of like, oh, Pythian's going to read my tarot. I'm afraid.
Right? Like, please only give me the good news.
And I'm like, you guys, I promise it's usually not like this. It's just you.
Yes.
So, and like, that is like so special to me, like getting to help them through their Saturn returns, understanding what that even means and how they're growing. One thing that I've noticed is like helping them transition. This is like not 100% me. I am just kind of like the guiding light from boys to men. And that was always the journey that I have seen for them. And as they both turn 30 this year and next year, we will see that come to a nice completion. So that's what I do off camera.
Okay.
And then on camera, I do my best to stabilize the space because things get out of control. Like the scariest one was when Colby was mid-possession. That I had no idea. I didn't even know what was going on. I was like, la la la, I want to hang out in the director's room. And I come out when Sam was like, hey, we need you for a second. And I see Colby, who looks like he's wearing stage makeup. He's sweating. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, you guys, what are you doing? Like, oh my, what, like you're like brain fart for a second. Like, how do I get this thing? Because I can't, when people say they see things, like, it's not like a Hollywood movie. Like, I see things as like grainy energy. And like, he doesn't remember it. He told me a bunch of stuff he doesn't remember.
Oh, that's gnarly.
Yeah.
That's gnarly.
Face was like pulled back like this. And he was having trouble breathing. And so whenever that happens, the first thing you have to do is get that person back in control. And so we did some breathing, which is not very exciting, but you have to remind their nervous system that they are in control of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. And then I started pulling this thing off of him. They called it a demon. I don't think it was a demon because the stuff that I did was like not all the way up to like demon level, but like malicious entity.
Sure.
So I pull it off of him and we ground him. And then like I sit with him and I'm like, Colby, if this ever happens again and I am not here, you have to do X, Y, and Z things. Mm-hmm. So stabilizing the area for sure. And they are amazing. Like I have worked with several different groups, but Sam and Colby are the most respectful of the craft.
I so believe that. I so believe that. You can see it. I see it in their footage. I'm like, these are like two dudes that I feel very confident that I could investigate with and not totally like flip out or feel like everything is so overly staged. Like they feel very genuine to me. And I love that about them.
Yes, they're very authentic. And so in that footage of the Farrar School, I took out some sacred items that I couldn't show. And I was like, you guys have to blur this. I can't share this to the public. I will lose my initiation status and all this stuff.
Okay.
And they did. They blurred it out for me. And I said, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. You will light the incense. You will hold this thing. And they do it without question. They trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's a bond that we have created that is so special. And I'm so grateful because there are teams out there, you know, no disrespect, but they don't fully believe. Mm-hmm. And they want to push. They want to go over the edge. And at a certain point, it becomes too much. I'm only one human. Like, I am a priestess, but I am one energy. I can't protect all nine of you. Can you stop being dumbasses for a minute?
Yes. So, yeah, it's like there is like real ritual framework underneath the content that people are watching. Like, it's not just about the vibes.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah,
I don't.
Definitely not, which is just, yeah, incredible. So here's what I really want to know as well.
Okay.
Hang on. Is there anything that you can share that, like, never made, like, a final cut stuff? Like, you kind of went into that a little bit with, like, what happened with, like, his possession and stuff. But are there any other little tidbits that stand out that maybe didn't make anything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was one where I was fighting with the spirit. So first of all, if you go watch the Farrar School part 3 in the last 45 minutes, if I was doing this just for vibes, like, I must be the richest bitch ever because I'm spending hundreds and thousands of dollars on equipment here.
Right.
This is very expensive. And so I had to step outside of the circle because I put the jar too far away from me to actually be able to like put it in. Traditionally, you have like this really long staff that's like huge, it's like 5 feet. I don't have that. I can't bring that on an airplane.
Right? Like, yeah, you mind if I put this in the overhead bin?
I have like a triangle of manifestation that's made of like glass.
Oh, I lost my audio. Hang on one sec.
Is good? Are we good?
Yeah, there you are. Awesome.
Yeah, spirits are like, you be very careful about what you say.
Sorry. No doubt. I totally understood. Rest assured, spirits, always respectful. I would never, ever.
Okay. So I step out of the circle, which was like already like, not good. But you got to do what you got to do. And I'm over. I'm on the floor for like a solid 4 minutes, of me trying to wrap and close the chains. So I had measured with their producer the chain size and the lock. It should fit. But every time I tried to put the lock into the chain, it would move. I couldn't get it. It kept forcing it out of my hand.
Oh my gosh.
It was
that
awful.
Is what I mean. Like when I say like real stuff, like that's crazy. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh. Almost like a polarity pull.
Mm-hmm. It was
but
so bad.
Definitely like more than that. But yeah. Oh my gosh.
And Sam's like, are you good? And I'm like, yeah. I just have to fight it. Like, just give me a minute. And I finally clamped it down and like cussed it out a little bit. And then I.
Absolutely. Rightfully so. When in doubt, just cuss it out.
Cuss it out. And so this part did make it in. So after we get that, and you know, I know why they cut it. It was not flattering footage of me. I've got like my dresses in a wedgie. I'm on the floor like this. Like, it's not pretty. Yeah. And I think that's something people like kind of, Hollywood has made the occult like so aesthetic. And so,
yes.
It is, but it's also not. Sometimes you're on the floor trying to put a demon in a jar. And it's not
right?
pretty.
With a wedgie up your butt. It's just what happens.
Yeah.
Hashtag life. I don't know.
Truly. Truly. It's not always glamorous. That's for sure.
Right.
Yeah. There was another time they gave their protection away at the Smurl house. And I like, I ripped them a new one. I was like, what the fuck, you guys? Like, why am I making this stuff for you if you're just giving it away? And like,
right? For sure. Yeah. So now you're also in the development of Exploring Haunted America, your own independent show. Is that right? Entirely on your terms, which I think is so hot, by the way. I think that is so hot. And what's different when the entertainment production layer isn't in the room?
So there is a little bit of that. The company that I worked with, Haro House Films, they shoot mostly horror movies. And so there was definitely during that, that was the most intense filming. We did 8 locations in 14 days, which was
holy
insane.
Crap. That's a lot. Yeah.
It was so much. It was way too much.
Holy cow. That's got to be just exhaustive energy on top of it. Like, you've got to feel so drained after that.
Yeah. It was a lot. And I think, you know, I can't share too much about it.
Sure.
But what I will say is that you can see I was not the most scared person. The poor cameraman was.
See, and I'm not sure where I would be on that scale, because there's many times, depending on the location of what I cover, of like, yep, I would travel there and I would experience that. And there's certain places where I was like, fuck no, I am never stepping in there. Now, to some degree, I will say this, learning and knowing what I now know, where you are concerned, I would probably go with you.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know why I don't have that fear. Now, there were a handful of times I did get scared, Like we actually had something thrown at us at one point.
Really?
Yeah, that
Ooh,
scared
can you
me.
tell a little bit more about that?
I can tell you it was at the Yorktown Memorial Hospital in the basement.
It's always the basement or an
It's
attic.
always, yeah, it was the basement. That scared me. The other thing that I learned on that show is that the creatures, ghosts, spirits, whatever term you want to use, they feed off of you. So we had one, well, crew member who was just like unbelievably scared. And we noticed that when that person was present, the activity got so much worse. And it's like, oh, like the spirits are feeding off of you for better or for worse. Definitely for worse when I'm trying to do ritual, because if you are not in a balanced state when you're doing ritual, if you have fear, you're toast. And that we did have a ritual go wrong in that show, and it did not go well. Like, and it's like, well,
Dang.
I can't control each one of you, right? I can only control me.
Oh my gosh, that's pretty crazy too. Like, seriously. So, can you tell me about one like specific investigation that still messes with you at all, like after the fact? Like, maybe not necessarily like the most dramatic thing that's ever happened, but maybe the most undeniable in a sense, like the one you can't rationalize away no matter like how many times.
Yeah, it would have to be the Smurl House, and it wasn't
So
even the
hot,
spirit
by the
board.
way. I think that
So
is so
for the
hot.
final investigation, it was Sam, Colby, myself, and FaZe Rug, who I guess now just goes by Rug. And when we were doing the Estes method, I had not been talking. Also, I was burning like rosemary like crazy, because the spirit, which it was an egregore. It was so overpowering, and it did not like me. Like, it was very much like. So the first time I said something, immediately afterwards, Colby through the headphone says occult. And I was like, there's no way that the radio said that word. Not, no way. And then immediately afterwards, it says bad luck. And I was like, yeah, I am bad luck to you, because I could, not by myself, with other people, I could make you go away. But to me, it was like, whoa, I am a threat to this thing. And I had to tell it, I'm like, I'm not going to mess with you. I'm not going to banish you. Like, I am here just to keep this space level. But that,
Like, I'm Switzerland in this situation.
yeah, I'm just here to make sure these guys don't get hurt. Not here to attack you. But that, I think about that a lot. It's like, because the radio, there's just certain things that just don't get said on the radio. And that word, occult, very, very rarely gets said.
For sure. For sure. So I want to ask about something that I don't hear talked about enough, in my opinion, and that's the personal cost of this work. Because you're not just investigating these spaces with a recorder and an EMF detector, you're opening yourself up to them spiritually, and amongst other things, and having other types of equipment involved. And all of that is part of the process in order to get what you need as far as, the full story, the footage, all of it, like the whole shebang. So, what does that actually look like before and after you go somewhere? Like,
Okay.
what is that process?
So, depends on what I do. So, if there's a spirit board involved, I need like 6 hours of prep for that, because even longer, because you have to cleanse the board by the sun and the moon. And that matters. If the moon cycle is funky, if the moon cycle is in void, like it's gonna fuck up the board in some ways. So, like, I have to make sure that it's being purified under a certain kind of moon cycle. That's actually very important. Now, let's say because of what I do, and the moon, and it's like the moon's gonna be void for that amount of time. I'm like, fine, I can call in those spirits and bless and consecrate and purify the board myself, but that's more energy I have to expend. And then there's the prep work. I always, investigate or if I'm given the location ahead of time, sometimes I'm not. And like, check it out. Be like, where is the danger? What is the spirit going to be like? And sometimes I get messages for the guys and I'm like, hey, you know, in this meditation, Colby broke his right shoulder. Like,
no way.
Yeah. And be like, you need to be aware. And usually that represents like holding too much or like too much energy. And it's like, you need to be aware of like whatever you're bringing into the situation. We need to remove that ahead of time. And then whatever protection that I will make for them, that takes time and energy. Cause I don't always make, do I have the book here? Here it is. This is one of my favorite books to use. The Solomonic Pentacles.
Okay.
So each one of these, you're supposed to put it in metal, but you can use paper and oil. Okay. That works just as well. And so I call in for protection. Here's an example of one, like a protection of Mars.
Okay. Got it.
And so blessing and consecrating, that takes time. If I'm going to do a spell for protection ahead of time, you know, depending on like the level that they ask for. Yeah. And then doing the spirit board is probably like, first of all, it's not supposed to be done with one person. You're supposed to do it with like three magicians. And every time I do that board, I feel like I died a little bit. Like, it is so draining. And like, I wake up feeling depressed. Like, I wake up, like, it's like, wow, this is, wow. And then I remember I'm with Sam and Colby and I'm like, oh, it's not that bad. But there's always this feeling of like a little piece of you inside is like so drained to the point of like, I don't know if anyone's ever experienced what death feels like, but it's like you're slipping away out of the body.
Oh, that would be a very, and what a weird thing to feel awareness of, like, and to process that. That's intense. Like, seriously.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And I've tried different things to like minimize that feeling, but it's just a fact that like I'm holding, when I do the spirit board, I'm calling in four different angels. I'm calling in the goddess. I'm like holding the spirit we're talking to like at knife point. So like there's like so much energy going in different directions. I have found eating something salty afterwards really, really helps. And then wearing an eye mask when I go to sleep, like cutting out all the light completely, really helps. Yeah. Cool. Oh, I'm glad you understand. And then when the investigation ends, I do cleansings, and that's part of like the secret practice, that they will show parts of it, and if they do, I ask them to blur it out so nobody else can see it. And so that's a lot of energy too. And so we purify everybody with water, fire, and then vibration. And then we all get to go home.
Hey guys, just a really quick little thing here. We had some technical difficulties towards the end and during the editing of this episode. So I sincerely apologize. There is a section of this that we are missing. And hopefully I plan to get Miss Ashley Ryan back on the show to have yet another guest spot with her. So I'm going to include here for you guys her contact information if you would like to follow her for more awesomeness and hermetic knowledge and everything. You definitely should, because she is absolutely amazing. Here is that info. And everybody, thank you so much for being part of this and being patient with some of the technical difficulties on this episode. I greatly appreciate it. We will catch you all next week. And remember, sometimes the creepiest shit is also the truest. Here is Ashley's information. Bye.
Absolutely. So you can find me across all socials, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Threads as PYTHIAN, priestess, not princess. I appreciate you thinking I'm a princess, but I'm not. So Pythian priestess, and then PythianPriestess.com. You can book a tarot reading with me if you'd like one. I also do spell consultations if you want a spell done. And then I teach you how to read tarot. I will teach you paranormal protection, all of that good stuff through pithyandmysteryschool.com.